So glad you could have kicked me one. That means I knew nothing about them. We've been looking just into 1 Corinthians and finally got into the first problem that was existing there at Corinth. And so allow me to begin reading into verse 12. There's contentions among them, and Paul's going to deal with that first contention that there is among the Corinthians. Let me read verses 12 through 18. He says, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God." Let's pray. Our God and Father, as we talk about a subject here that gets sometimes controversial, many times controversial, when we talk about water baptism and everybody who wants to hang on to that ritual, and then as a church that we've let it go, and people can't understand why we would practice no water baptism, but yet this passage seems to speak of that. That I pray, Father, that each person here would have attentive ears to be able to understand why Paul is saying what he is saying, maybe even understand why he baptized a few, but also why he thanked God he didn't baptize any more. And we pray that at the end of the message, that it's your Son and his cross work that will always be the most important thing on our minds, and certainly not human rituals and religious ceremonies. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, we've been through these verses of Scripture last week and began to realize that the problem that existed at Corinth by saying that I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I am of Christ, that the problem at Corinth is they were actually elevating man. They were esteeming man more than the message. They weren't thinking about where their message comes from, who brought them their message, what God would have them to know. Rather than that, they were wrapped up in these men and esteeming men. And we looked at each one of those men to get a little bit of background, why they would think they would, some would want to be of Apollos, and even why some would even choose Paul, as they would want to elevate him rather than think about the message of Paul. But they'd elevate Apollos, or they certainly would go to Peter, as many still do, and then some who would say, oh, I only identify with Christ, and I'm not sure whether that's a positive thing or a negative thing, but it's in the context there, it almost seems like negative, that they're following Christ for the wrong reason, not the message of Christ. It's almost like people today. When I worked at ISI Manufacturing, I'm really sorry that I actually moved to Michigan to get more grounded in right division. What I'm sorry about is I had been gone through Bible college, but Bible college I went to didn't teach the difference between the gospel of the kingdom in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John by the 12 apostles, and the gospel of the grace of God, the preaching of the cross through Paul. But I did know the preaching of the cross. I'm going to make a long story shorter. The president of that company read his Bible all the time, and he called me up to his office several times and asked me Bible questions. They were always about the parables, always about a rich man. Hardly ever will a rich man ever enter the kingdom of God. And then he would ask me questions about that, because you could actually see he was disturbed by the fact that he was very rich and it didn't look like he was going to go to heaven. So I tried to get him away from that and get him to the preaching of the cross, and that didn't make sense to him. It was like that verse says, it's foolishness to him. And besides that, he says, well, when it comes to the Bible, I only believe the words in the red. He only believed the words of Jesus. And he didn't recognize, and I tried to get him to see, that what Paul wrote down are the commandments of the Lord, a further revelation of what Jesus Christ accomplished, what the cross was all about. The man, on his way to work one day, had some kind of a medical episode, ran up a hill, hit a bridge embankment, and died. And I never did get to get him to understand that the cross is the means of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That today a rich man can be saved just as much as a poor man, because salvation is a free gift. And I know something about rich people. They like free gifts just as much as poor people like free gifts. And but he wouldn't go. He only, like, and I read that because some people say I'm of Christ. I only go by the words of the read in the Bible. And that's wrong, because the Bible, all the New Testament are the words of Christ, and the words of Jesus Christ to us Gentiles came through Paul. But the problem with the Corinthians, you could see they're identifying with men rather than the message and the message that God had for them. And in the process of identifying with those men, Paul said in verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? And then he continues about talking about baptism. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, and so forth. So that when these people, when they were talking about these men, they were being identified with these men through water baptism. We talked last week, not only is it wrong for them to be followers of men, for instance, chapter 2 and in verse 5 it says, Paul writes, he says that your faith may not stand in the wisdom of men but in the power of God. Over in chapter 4, the end of verse 6, he says that you might learn in us not to think of man above that which is written, that no man should be puffed up one against another. You need to think about man, what God said about man, and what God said about the Apostle Paul. He's Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles, that the revelation he received is for us Gentiles. And as you see in verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, back to chapter 1, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Paul was given a message that centers around the cross of Christ and the power of God through the cross of Christ to save all who believe. And that's how you receive the free gift of God. You realize that when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he paid for all of our sins. Not just some of our sins, not just the sins until the day we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. He died for our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. Of course, the obvious to that is we weren't alive when Jesus Christ died, so he died for our sins before we ever committed those sins. They were all future. But the point is he paid for all sin. And that's why redemption is, by God's grace, a free gift to us, because redemption has to do with freedom by payment of a price. Free from the penalty of our sin, because he paid the price, and he completely paid the price. The reason salvation's a free gift, there's nothing left to do. It's done by the Lord Jesus Christ, and by God's grace, his undeserved mercy toward us, unmerited on our behalf, that when you just believe what Jesus Christ did, God gives you eternal life. So, but that's Paul's message, and the Corinthians here were caught up in these men, and when they're caught up in their men, they're being identified with these men through baptism, and that's why Paul brings up this baptism issue. We saw last week that the word baptism, by how it was used in early times, has to do with dip or under for the purpose of identification. In the book Dictionary of the Gospel, when I teach baptism and the meaning of baptism, I think a consistent definition from the Bible is to be placed in or upon, because he's going to baptize some with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came upon some people. So baptism means to place in or upon for the purpose of identification. And if you never knew that, you can see that in this passage, because they're identifying with these men by being baptized by these men. And in the message last week was that's still happening today. People keep identifying with certain men, Lutheran or denominations, Baptists and all the different ones, Methodist, Presbyterian. They all have a different form of baptism, and people get baptized and now they're a part of that denomination. The same problem that existed at Corinth exists today, and even the same reasons that they're being baptized by these certain men or identifying with these certain men follow that. But anyhow, we learned what the definition of baptism is. But that leads to the question where in verse 14, Paul said, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. And so Paul, when he talks about the confusion that was happening here at Corinth caused him to say he thanked God that he baptized none but a few that he mentioned. Down in verse 17, he further explains, for Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So that the confusion of identifying with these men and baptism caused Paul to thank God he only baptized a few, and to make that statement, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So the question has to come up with, and it always does, when you say that that baptism has no place in this age of grace. Now, that might be over some of your head, but that's what you're going to learn as you keep studying this. Water baptism, you're going to see, belong to the nation of Israel, has no place in what God's doing today. The cross is everything today, as you can see just in that expression in verse 17 and 18. But the question comes up and causes some confusion. Well, why did Paul baptize the few that he did? And there is a biblical answer to that. And I want to give you four reasons for that. I want to do it all in one message, even though we could take four of those reasons and make four messages and you'd be buried with information. But I think there's some things that you can see quite clearly. It's important, first of all, to realize that when you come to the Apostle Paul, that you need to rightly divide his ministry. Some say rightly divide his epistles, but I think it's more appropriate to think about that when you come to Paul's ministry, you need to rightly divide his ministry. Now, let me explain that to you. You need to rightly divide his ministry from his early ministry to his later ministry. That early ministry begins in the book of Acts, but Acts ends with Paul being in prison, and then he writes these prison epistles that have a full explanation of what the age of grace is all about. So that there's a difference between his early ministry and his later ministry. You can see this in that verse. I thank God I didn't baptize any other, but I thank God I baptized Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say I baptized in my own name. I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize. You get the idea where Paul says, I did a few, but those were early. I'm glad I don't do it anymore. There's a difference between his early ministry, the Acts ministry, and the prison ministry later. There's a difference in the ministry when Paul, in that Acts period, he had a ministry to the nation of Israel. I always try to explain to people that when you see Paul going to the Jews in the book of Acts, it's to prove that they're rejecting their message and that God is right in turning to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 13, we're going to be looking at that, but not this passage, this section of it. In Acts chapter 13, Paul goes and he preaches about, through Jesus Christ, whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Well, he actually says, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and all who believe are justified from all things by which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. When he said, all who believe can be justified from all things, that caused the Gentiles to go, wait a minute, you're not just preaching this to the Jews? So the next week, there's more Gentiles showed up than Jews to hear what Paul had to say. And when the Jews got jealous about that, the Bible says they contradicted and blasphemed the things Paul was saying. Salvation through Jesus Christ. And then Paul says it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you. But seeing you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles, for so the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou should be salvation to the ends of the world. And then the Gentiles start rejoicing. But why did Paul say that it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you? So that it would be a record that Jews don't want Jesus as their Messiah, the Gentiles do, and Paul turns to the Gentiles. So there is in that early ministry of Paul, he has a ministry to the Jews and then also to the Gentiles, but there is a ministry that goes to both. By the way, we're going to get into some things. When I say he had to go to the Jew, the verse says it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. When we talk about these names that Paul said, he says in verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say I'd baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanas. When you read and study a little bit further, you'll find out Stephanas was the first fruits of Achaia. If he preached to the Jews first, what do you think Stephanas might be? Just a thought. I can't prove anything. I just want to throw that out to you. You'll see why in a moment. But when we talk about dividing Paul's ministry, it's from his actions during the transition. The book of Acts is transition. It starts out God's a renewed offer to the nation of Israel. They reject at the stoning of Stephen in Acts 7. Acts 9, God saves Saul of Tarsus and gives him the message of the preaching of the cross and sends him out to the Gentiles. As he goes out to the Gentiles, he preaches to the Jews there. They reject it, and he just turns to the Gentiles. He does that in three different territories till he's all the way into Rome. So there is this transition that goes on from the fall of Israel and the riches of the world as we're studying it in Romans chapter 11. And so during that transition, there are some actions that Paul did during that transition, but we need to separate Paul's actions from his epistles that are written to the body of Christ. If you study, you realize when he left Corinth in Acts chapter 18, he shaved his head because he did a vow and had to go to Jerusalem. That's all Jewish. You think, what in the world's he doing? Well, we're Gentiles. We wouldn't think we don't see anything about that, but it has nothing to do with us. Paul didn't write down to in our epistles written to us. Now, if you take a vow, go to Jerusalem and offer sacrifice. See, Paul did some things because in that transition that his actions are one thing, but what he wrote in his epistles, that's our instructions from God. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ to us. Now that's an important, I don't know if you catch all that, but that's an important thing because the reason that water baptism continues even today to be such confusion and distracts from the cross of Christ, and I don't know if I'll make this point at the end or not, but let me make it now. You see that verse 17 and 18? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. See, like, baptism makes the cross of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it's the power of God. Salvation today is believing what was accomplished through the death, burial, and resurrection. The power of God unto salvation is through the cross of Christ. But people like to talk about water baptism, and it diminishes from the cross of Christ, even hinders it. And it's very common. You ask a person if he's saved, and he'll say, well, I was baptized when I was so-and-so. I didn't ask you when you were baptized. I asked you if you were saved. The cross is the power of God unto salvation. You talk about your works, you're taken away from the work of Jesus Christ. And they come to a church, a Grace Bible Church, and they don't see no baptistry back here. So they ask me, well, where are you guys baptized? We don't baptize. We don't water baptize. Oh, it must be some kind of cult. Because they would agree with all the different denominations about baptism that we should water baptize and then take away, and then we come here, would refuse to listen to anything we have to say because we don't water baptize. And when they get together and accept all the others who water baptize, those people don't even preach the gospel right. They don't preach the cross of Christ. They don't preach the finished work of Christ. Not, say they as general, all those denominations that water baptize. And someone would come in and would rather identify with all the water baptizers than someone who wants to identify with the power of God unto salvation, the preaching of the cross. Something wrong about that. But they have to be spiritually mature, at least in tune with the cross of Christ, to get that. Because what I was about to tell you is that the reason that water baptism continues to be such confusion and distraction today and takes away from the cross of Christ is that when you get into Paul's epistles, you will not find any instruction to water baptize. You won't find any instruction in Paul's epistles of who we should do it to, who should be water baptized, and when they should be water baptized, and why they should be water baptized, and how to water baptize. Because the churches all disagree about all those things. Some baptize infants, some adults. And why is there all that confusion? There's no biblical instruction. If you come to Paul's epistles, he doesn't instruct us to water baptize. What you see him saying is, I thank God only baptized a few because Christ didn't send me to baptize. So, but we do have to ask that question then, why would he baptize the few? And I believe there's some biblical answer to that. And I'd like you to keep three words in mind. Hopefully this will help you get it. The first word is commission. The second word is Christ. And the third word is cross. Look at chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, for I determined not to know anything among you. That is, Paul, when he went there, he didn't care that they knew anything about anything else. Sports, anything, whatever else. There's only one thing it's actually two things that Paul wanted to get across when he was at Corinth. He said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So, I first want to talk to you about commission, then I want to talk to you about Christ, and then I want to talk to you about Him crucified, the cross. And it'll have the answer, I believe, on why Paul baptized a few. First of all, in verse 14 through 16, Paul mentions the few that he did. Notice again, verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say I had baptized in my own name. I baptize also, catch that phrase, the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Now, by the way, I do take that to mean any other at Corinth. Because I'm going to point out to you that Paul baptized a few people. And some of those people I don't think are at Corinth. So when he says baptize any other, I think that's any other at Corinth. But he mentions the few that he did and then just says, besides that, I don't know if I baptized any other. Then he follows that up with a statement, for Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel. And his gospel message has to do with the cross of Christ. Verse 18, notice it says, the preaching of the cross. Paul's gospel centers in the good news of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, with that in mind, not only did he say he baptized a few and he thanked God it was only a few, the reason he could say that is verse 17, Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, that brings the question of why did he do a few then? But the point is, in Paul's commissioning, Jesus Christ did not commission Paul to water baptize. So he thanked God he only did a few, and what God did send him out to do is to preach the cross and the preaching of the cross. So hold your place here and get two passages. Get Mark 16 and Matthew chapter 28. We're going to do Mark 16 first, and then Matthew 28. Now, this is after Jesus Christ died, rose from the dead, and during that 40 days before he ascended into heaven, he met again with the 12 apostles. And among the commissioning, they had to begin at Jerusalem, and we could go through five different commissions that he gave them. But the commission in Mark is, I want you to see this, he says in verse 15, and he said unto them, go into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. So the 12 apostles were they had to go to Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and then ultimately the uttermost parts of the world. But he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now you need to ask yourself, what gospel? He goes on to say in verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. The Gospels all begin with the preaching of John the Baptist, who showed up preaching and baptizing in the River Jordan and preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And he was preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The gospel that they would go out to preach is called the gospel of the kingdom, that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And they're preaching it to the Jews, and the Jews who would respond in water baptism would be identified with Jesus Christ and his kingdom when it comes. Now, look over in Matthew chapter 28. You can see that the apostles were eventually to go beyond the nation of Israel. He says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, there's the Gentiles, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them, the Gentiles, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And what he commanded them is that Israel is going to be established as a kingdom, and Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne of David, and the increase of his kingdom and peace, there'll be no end, and the law of God is going to flow from Jerusalem out to the Gentiles. So ultimately, the 12 apostles, when they're done ministering to the Jews, were going to go out to the Gentiles, and when they did, they're instructed to baptize. Do you see their commission? Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Could Peter ever say that? I mean, he can't, because if he did, I'd say, Peter, wait a minute. Jesus said to you, go and baptize. And when they go, they're to preach a gospel message. But I want to show you what the gospel message is, and we could do a whole study, but just flip back a few chapters to Matthew chapter 4. Chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. This is a chapter that's much like the book of Revelation. He's explaining his coming, the events that are precede his coming. And he named some things. Verse 8 talked about the beginning of sorrows. He's going to go even further into it as we go through other verses, if you read through other verses. But in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 12, it says, "And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved." That is, there comes the tribulation, and they got to endure, because that's when Jesus Christ comes back. He's going to save them and set up his kingdom. And I say that because look at the next verse. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations." And then what happens? The end comes. The end comes when the 12 apostles take the gospel of the kingdom and take it to all the world and as a witness to all nations, and then the end comes. Now, when you read the book of Acts, one of the things you'll find out is the 12 apostles never went to all the world. What happens is real clearly, and you need just read through the book of Acts and realize this, that the apostles begin at Jerusalem. They don't leave Jerusalem. Some people are scattered from Jerusalem, but they stay at Jerusalem because they're still trying to convert Jerusalem. But Israel falls, and in the fall of Israel, God raises up Saul of Tarsus and made him Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, and sent him out to the Gentiles with a different message. A message about the preaching of the cross. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And the 12 apostles never finished you don't see them going. Paul, we already saw the verse in Corinthians, Paul said, "Though you have 10,000 instructors, I have begotten you through the gospel." He's not even one of the 12. He's working under a different commission than the 12 apostles, preaching a different gospel, not the gospel of the kingdom, but the preaching of the cross. So that when you see that Paul had a different commission that he works under, then you understand that there's been a change that took place here between God's ministry through Israel to the Gentiles and God's ministry by grace apart from Israel to the Gentiles through the Apostle Paul. And so theirs ministry involved water baptism. But that takes me to that other word that I want you to catch on to, is Christ. Paul said that he determined not to have them know anything, he determined not to know anything among them except Christ and him crucified. You know, before a person could ever get saved, you can't just preach the gospel, you got to preach Christ. Because he's the person who went to the cross and died for our sins. And so Paul, when he would go out, he'd preach Christ, and then he'd preach him crucified. So you got to know who your Savior is, and then how he brought about that salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection. So Paul goes out and preaches Christ. And when he went to the Jews that are out there among the Gentiles, the Jews have always been looking for the Christ. Christ means Messiah. For the Jews, that term Messiah is a term that has to do with the anointed one that's going to bring about all their promises from God. And that's not just the promise of a kingdom, it's a promise of salvation. Mary was told to name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the Jews are looking for Christ, but they don't know he has showed up. They don't know that Jesus is the Christ. And when Paul would go out among the Gentiles, he would begin, or among the Jews even at first, he would begin by preaching that Jesus is the Christ. And then he would talk about the salvation that's through Christ. Come back with me. I'm going to show you two things here. Come back to Acts 16. And this is a speculation on my part that I think is true. Why would Paul baptize a few? Well, I put this to you that I believe that the few that Paul baptized were Jews. And there's a testimony as you go through the book of Acts, in some cases, that's a fact. So, first of all, when I talked about Paul's action in early Acts, notice he in Acts 16, he takes Timothy, and God would have Paul take Timothy with him, not just to be a disciple there at Derbe where he lived, but to travel with Paul in Paul's ministry. In verse 3 it says, "Him would Paul have go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which are in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek." Well, Timothy's mother was a Jew, his father was a Greek. If his father had his way, was Timothy ever circumcised? No. You think a Jew is going to look to a son of a Greek person and listen to what he has to say? No. If he's going to travel with Paul, Paul says, okay, we got a ministry to the Jews, so I'm going to circumcise you first. So that when Timothy goes out, the Jews can't say, well, I'm not going to listen to him. And so there is this influence to the Jewish people that's catering to the Jews as Paul goes out. I want you to see that action. When you read Galatians, Paul tells you, circumcision or uncircumcision, it avails nothing to God today. So there is no pleasing God through circumcision, but to please the Jew, Paul circumcised Timothy. Now, come over in the same chapter. Paul, when he takes Timothy, they eventually go to, they get a call to go into Macedonia. In verse 12 it says, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and in a colony, and were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath day he went out of the city by a river where prayers was to be wont, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. So it's a Sabbath day, and they're going down by a river, and there's people gathered to pray on the Sabbath day. What kind of people you think that might be? Well, that's when the Jews got together, and apparently there's no synagogue there. So they go down by the river, and they begin to talk. And it says, and a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. So she believed God, Jehovah God of the Old Testament, but they heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So Paul, Luke, Timothy, they all stayed with Lydia there. But when you look at that incident, here's Lydia, someone in the city of Philippi, who believed through Paul's preaching, but certainly she's a Jew. That's why she's down by the river on the Sabbath day. And she gets baptized. And I think, oh, wait a minute. Why did Paul baptize a few? Well, the other one, if you look on verse 30 of chapter 16, and this is where the Philippian jailer, the earthquake, and Paul was in jail, and Paul and Silas come out, and it says in verse 30, he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. So Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you get saved. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. So here the Philippian jailer was baptized. But Paul told him that to be saved, all he needed to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like Lydia and her household, Stephanas and his household, this jailer and his household all get baptized. Now, I can't tell you the Philippian jailer was a Jew. But if it's consistent with others, there was a time when Paul got arrested and a Roman soldier saying, how did you get this freedom? And Paul said, I was born free. And the guy said, by great sum I obtained this freedom. There are Jewish Roman soldiers. And there's a good chance that this man was a Jew. I say that because come over to chapter 18. So Paul's at Corinth here. And it says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath day and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So there's Gentile believers here too. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. See, that's how he started with the Jews. Before they get saved, they have to believe who the Christ is, that Jesus was the Christ. And when they opposed themselves, so a whole bunch didn't believe, and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed from thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, ones who worship God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed. Oh, that's one of the ones he baptized at Corinth, isn't it? Crispus, Gaius, and the household of Stephanas. So we know the chief ruler of the synagogue, he was certainly a Jew. And it says, watch what happens here. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. How many did Paul baptize at Corinth? A few. How many were baptized at Corinth? A whole bunch. They weren't done by Paul, were they? You think maybe Gaius had something to do with that? That here a synagogue split. Not only is a synagogue split, you know, look at verse 17. There was, when the Greeks got jealous of the Jews, or at least they tried to stop Paul from speaking, the Jews did. It said, then the Greeks took Sothenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him. Do you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and Sothenes, our brother. Sothenes, after verse 17, got saved. And when these Jewish people from the synagogue get saved, and there's a bunch of people at Corinth getting saved, I think those are getting baptized. I think they're Jews that are getting baptized. Why? It's because when John the Baptist showed up, come over to Acts chapter 13. Watch this. Here's Paul's first message. The first recorded message, I should say. Paul's been preaching. He's teaching at Antioch. He launched his ministry, and he's over here in Antioch, Poseidon. And he's been invited by the Jews in the synagogue to stand up and speak. And so verse 16 of Acts 13 said, then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hands, men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience. Now watch what he does. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they were strangers in the land of Egypt. So he goes back to the very beginning of Israel's calling and how God chose the nation of Israel. And he brings them out of Egypt, and he goes through the history of the nation of Israel all the way down to verse 22. It says, and when he had removed him, that is King Saul, he raised unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now God's will is that a seed of David is going to set up the kingdom forever. So he takes Israel through his history all the way to David, and then says in verse 23, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised up unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. So now they're realizing Jesus is the Christ, and that it's the fulfillment of God's promise that's going to come through David. Now, he starts with John the Baptist. Look at verse 24. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. Now that's a mouthful right there. Before Jesus Christ showed up, John was preaching that the one who's coming after him, whose shoes he's not unworthy to latch, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Before he showed up, John began to preach, and notice what John's preaching. The baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. That verse 24 there, John preached baptism. What did Paul preach? The cross. John had a message about baptism, and who was that message to? To all the people of Israel. Water baptism had to do with the nation of Israel understanding that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is the one who's going to fulfill all of their promises, and among those promises, the salvation of that nation. So a Jew would get water baptized to identify with Jesus Christ as the one who is going to save them. But watch what happens. It says in verse 25, and as John fulfilled his course. So John's ministry is over. Jesus Christ shows up and the Jews crucify him. That's what he goes, you just read down, that's what he's saying. Now you get down to verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, and that he raised up Jesus again, as it is written also in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So we've gone from the preaching of John the Baptist to Paul saying, and we declare unto you glad tidings. So Paul's going to go, John fulfilled his ministry, now Paul's going to add to John's ministry, and he's going to say in verse 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. It's through Jesus Christ. And by him all that believe are justified from all things by which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, there's much more here, but all I want you to see is that Paul takes Israel and he takes them through their history all the way to John, who identified them with Jesus Christ through his baptism. Then Paul says, now, here's what we preach. And so a Jew would realize, okay, Jesus is my Messiah, and that they wouldn't get baptized to take away their sins for the remission of sins, but they would be baptized to identify that Jesus is their Messiah. And then Paul says, now here's what we preach, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and all who believe are justified from all things. Now Frieda Schuller, who passed away now, asked me one of the hardest questions I ever asked. It's not why Paul would baptize the few. Her question is, what did Paul say when he baptized a few? I wrestled with that, came up with some answers, and I'm not exactly sure. There's no verse that says it. But what I do know is Paul didn't say, I baptize you for the remission of sins. How do I know that? Here's what he's telling the Jews here. And I could see that because the Jews had to identify with Christ, some were being water baptized. But the message is the remission of sins, forgiveness of sins came through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that when we talk about Christ, they had to believe Jesus is the Christ. For instance, I'm not going to keep going over this. Look at chapter 17 and verse 3. Paul goes in a synagogue. Verse 2 says, as his manner was, went in unto them 3 Sabbath days, reasoning with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and to be risen from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So he preached Christ and him crucified. But you started out with Christ, and the Jews would carry on that water baptism for a time, but they wouldn't get baptized for the remission of sins. They'd realize that Christ died for the remission of their sins, for the forgiveness of their sins. So when Paul did that, he did baptize a few. There is a record here of the few that he baptized. But his statement there in 1 Corinthians is he sees the confusion that it's causing at Corinth. And he's thanked God that he only baptized a few. And then he tells you real clearly, for Christ sent me not to baptize. If you're going to follow Paul and the revelation that God gave to Paul for us Gentiles, you would not water baptize, because Paul taught another baptism in his Bible. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this has to do with the preaching of the cross now. Paul didn't preach baptism. John preached baptism. Paul preached the cross. Jesus Christ crucified. That's the power of God unto salvation. And when a person believes that, Paul taught something different. We'll get it when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But it says in verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now notice the phrase, there's one Spirit and there's one body, but then there's all of us. And he's talking to the believers at Corinth. By one Spirit, that's God the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body. We're not baptized into water. The God the Holy Spirit, not Jesus Christ baptizing Israel with the Holy Ghost, not baptizing them with fire, not John baptizing anybody with water, but God the Holy Spirit taking all believers today who believe in the cross work of Christ, and by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, the body of Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now there's a baptism that we have today that's a spiritual baptism that you don't identify with man and any message of those men, but this is the message that God gave to us through the Apostle Paul, and it's a unity that's being created today among all believers. So I'd like to close with Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, our job today, our ministry, our carrying on of Paul's commission, not only was he not sent to baptize, we're not told to baptize anybody. That's why, infant baptism, adult baptism, as soon as they believe, after they confess, or whatever it is. Not all those things that people make up that's not found in Paul's epistles, that he says, here's our endeavor, verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are to keep a unity that the Spirit of God has created today. What did we just read? By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's a unity, isn't it? So when he declares that unity, there's seven unities. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith. How many baptisms? One baptism. There is a unity that we are to keep, and then there's one God and Father of all who's above all, through all, and in you all. The unity that we're to keep is we're to recognize that God, the Holy Spirit, has created a unity among all believers today. That when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, it's the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. And when we believe, the Holy Spirit takes all believers, Jew or Gentile, don't make any difference, baptizes us into one body, and our job is to recognize that, keep that unity, and recognize today there's only one baptism, and it's by the Spirit into the body of Christ. Any other baptism added to that is man-made. That's what Corinthians, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Paul, I am of Christ. And it adds confusion and division. It confuses the gospel of Christ. And Paul, thank God he didn't baptize any other, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. When someone trusts their water baptism by a man, a physical work that they do, they're rejecting the work that Jesus Christ did. And Paul said, I thank God I didn't baptize any other. He saw the confusion that it was causing, and the solution to the problem is to realize God didn't send him to do it. It has no place in the age of grace. That we need to recognize the baptism by the Spirit into the body of Christ and defend that and exalt that, endeavor to keep that, because God created a perfect unity today, and it's by his Spirit into the body of Christ. Paul did a few. The Acts record shows it. But the book of Corinthians there shows a difference between what he was doing in Acts, and then he must have stopped. Because if he thanked God he didn't baptize any other, I don't think he baptized anybody else after that, do you? I don't. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, I pray that what we said here is true. And I believe the scriptures bear it out. We could speculate. Paul doesn't give us an answer, but there's some clues in the book of Acts to what Paul was doing, why he was doing it, who might have been responding with water baptism. But Father, the truth of the matter is, I pray that each person here would give up their works, their religious activity, what they like, who they like to follow, but take your message of the cross of Christ, the work that Jesus Christ accomplished, and by faith trust in that for their salvation, and not let anything ever diminish from that. May any time any of us are asked about our salvation, may we all point to Jesus Christ and him crucified, his death, burial, and resurrection for our justification. It's in his name we pray. Amen.